This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. The College Life Podcast is here to provide you with ideas on how college students can design their life, be mindful and intentional about what they're doing while they're in college. We will also interview people who have already graduated from college, who currently work at a college, and current college students. Each guest will share their story, their struggles, their successes, and offer you tips on how to take ownership and make the most of your time while you're in college. Let's get to it. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. Today I have with me Angie, and she's going to share a little bit about her college experience so far. So first off, Angie, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and kind of talk about where you're at in your college journey?
Okay. Well, hi. I'm Angelina Alvarez. I'm going to be 22 next week.
Woo!
So excited. Yeah. I'm a senior at the University of Colorado Boulder. Let's see. I'm double majoring in psychology and communication, and I am at the last, like, 2-3 weeks of school, and I'm ready. I'm so ready.
You are so close.
Yes. Super excited. Super.
Yeah. Well, let's dive right in into how did you decide to go to college? What was that thought process for you?
Wow.
All the way back 4 years ago.
Gosh, it wasn't even, you know what? It wasn't even 4 years
ago.
Well, yeah. So my mom and dad, even though they're both like split up since I was like 6 years old, they have both been consistent, like, you're going to college, no question. Like, don't even ask me, you're going. And so,
okay.
Yeah, I was just like, all right. Ever since I was in kindergarten, my dad would always say, look at me, sweetheart. Like, I'm a truck driver. I'm using my body for my work. He said, you don't want to do this. You can use your brain. And I should have used my brain. And I think that was what I remembered most. And then my mom was always just like, everything she did was to make sure that school was first. So it's just always been, like, even if I got C's in high school, she was like, all right, what happened? She wasn't even mad. She was just like, what happened? So really supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what brought you, or so it was no question kind of when you got junior, senior to start talking and thinking about college.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And especially, so I went to North Glen High School, class of 2014.
Shout out.
Right. So, yeah, just lived in Westminster for a majority of my life here, and I was in the CU Boulder pre-collegiate program, and they recruited me when I was in middle school.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that has helped us, like, because we always knew I needed to go to college, but how the heck do you do it? Like, it's such a process that no one really talks about. And the outreach program pre-collegiate represent, like, they really just taught us how to do it because my parents didn't know, you know? And so, especially when my junior year came up, so we would have, like, semester meetings. We go up to Boulder and they talk about, like, okay, like, what do you want to do for your life? Like, what are some important values? They separated the kids and parents and taught them more about, like, academics and education and support, which was really cool.
Wait, they helped out your parents as well?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah, no, it was really great because my mom, she was really about it. It was like 8 a.m. classes, so I was like dead, but my mom, she was like really about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really great, besides it being 8 a.m, but, you know, it prepped us, and I think what was important about it is, like, if you really cared, then you have to show us you care, which is good, because, like, some people did drop out due to circumstances, but if you had a circumstance, you have to let them know, and they'll work with you.
Okay.
So that was really cool. But basically, yeah, so they had a 5-week program where you came to Boulder, and you took classes, and you lived in Cheyenne Arapahoe, friend. That was such a fun time, and it got you a taste, and it made you even more motivated. And they said, like, based on your grades in high school, and then your grades that you get during this 5-week program, you can get pre-accepted into CU Boulder. And they had scholarships and all that, and yeah, I got pre-accepted. I think I was 17 going into my senior year of high school.
Wow. So, that is so cool.
It was super cool. Yeah. But I'll tell you this. So I didn't know that I was going to go into Boulder because I was like, wow, this school is so big and intimidating, you know, from Northland High School. Like, and
it's yeah, just how big was that high school at that time?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my graduating class was like 344. So okay. It was like medium.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone knew each other, like a small community. But I think it was just a huge cultural difference. You know, just even going into Boulder and, like, seeing how it worked was nothing how I ever seen it. It doesn't represent Colorado at all. I mean, like, somewhat of Denver, but mm-hmm. definitely not the suburbs. Like, so it was intimidating. It was expensive. And I was like, I work at Pizza Hut. I don't know how to deck it. I got $3. Like, so, yeah, that was intimidating, but I think what really pushed me to go to Boulder, because I was thinking of CU Denver, and my mom was just like, no, we've been with Boulder, they've helped you, you're going.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what about Front Range for 4 years? She's like, no, Angelina, you're going. So my mom, she helped.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of talked about a lot of students are nervous about the cost of college.
Yeah.
So you're almost done. So I kind of want to talk about how do you see that paying off, or do you? Where are you at?
Yeah.
That's kind of like a weird thing right
no,
now.
No, it is. I think it's a really great question. So I have two like kind of experiences. So like I want to go into mental health, right? So the basic thing you know is that it depends on the situation, your life, your family, and your values. Like it really does depend. I think I was just always taught that college is an investment and you need to do it. And you know, growing up, that was the message to me the whole time, right? And also, like, I liked school. Like, I liked learning. I need to be stimulated in that way. So I knew since I was 17 that I wanted to go into mental health. So, right, that was, like, a foundation for me. And I always knew, and my mom always told me, like, if you start somewhere, you'll end up somewhere else. And, you know, who knows? And I had more confidence in that. So there's that. Like, I was okay with that. Cause some people are okay with the uncertainty. And here you are making an $80,000 investment at the University of Colorado Boulder, you know, for a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Okay, but for me, so I am really big on financial stuff. Like, I like to be secure as well as I can be. So I was comfortable with working and making it work because I didn't want to end school with a huge amount of debt, you know, which to me is like 50 to 80,000, which is actually like more what you see with kids today who go to university. But I worked in Res Life. I kind of saw, I was like, okay, well, you know, they have free room and board, and that's where a lot of my money is going to. I don't have a car to commute from Westminster to Boulder every day, so let's go there. And you know, funny enough, Res Life is actually kind of like where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of finding your people. And I think it's taught me, and overall in education, like I see not only getting my education in my, like, you know, fields area, like where I want to, you know, psychology and communication, but I have an education to be a well-rounded person, you know, like if I need to take initiative and do something, I can be a leader. Like, I know now, and I've learned from experiences, especially with Res Life. Let's see. And so with that, like, in all the other classes I took, like, feminism studies, like, who would have known all the stuff that you see? It's right in front of you, and there's actual, like, academic terms for it. I think that was so valuable for me. And I don't know. I just, now I know how to keep learning and keep being a person, honestly. Like, how to manage craziness. So to me, yes, it was worth it. And you know, I worked, so that was difficult. But here's the other story with my brother. So my brother, he is a social guy. He's smart and we know it, but he is, I always saw him going into business because there's a lot of social parts of it. And no matter how many times he went to school and dropped out 8 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And he wanted to go to Boulder, but he got sick in his junior year. So, you know, the ACTs kind of fell through and his grades fell through. And, but, you know, that wasn't his calling. But, you know, he kept trying to go to Front Range 8 times, dropped out, had this debt, and he's like, I don't even like school. It's not even for me. You know, me being like, I love school. I don't get that. So, but watching my brother, and now he found success through staying with a company and building and learning and using their training programs. Mm-hmm. And now he is, to this day, I still don't know what he does. He explains it to me. I'm like, what's your title? And he's just like, well, I do this. I'm like, okay. Like, but he is very like achievement oriented. He loves it. And then Comcast, he works at Comcast, and that's where he gets it.
Yeah.
So he's like doing legal stuff now and business and flying out to like talk to people. I don't know what he does.
Dang, but
he's
good doing for it. Him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's successful. He has a right. home. He has my two gorgeous, beautiful nephews. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you talked about kind of being a well-rounded person. What does that mean for you?
Mm. Oh, wow. Like I said, for me, especially, I think intrinsically, I always like to be balanced. And so with me, I think that has, like, I know my priorities, which is my health, my education, and my finances. And then also, like, I'm learning to put social life in there because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a hard worker, but I work too hard sometimes where you burn out. So just learning how to, like, yeah, it's okay to have fun. Yeah, it's okay to sleep in a little bit. And with college, and I think it taught you that because there's a lot of, you fail a lot. You have to fail to succeed. And I think...
Say that again. You have to fail to succeed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, you have to. Like, you know, how do you know how to get up if you don't fall down? And, you know, I've failed exams. I've tried staying up all night and learning the whole semester in one night. You know, just
don't do that.
Yeah, don't do it. Okay, yeah, exactly. The failing part. It failed. But I learned from that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I learned that that's not good. Like, I can't do that for myself. Some people I know can do it, and I'm like, I like to see that work. With some other instances.
So you said you fail and then you like learn from it. So what's an example, or what's maybe something really important and powerful that you learned while you've been in college that you want to take with you into the next phase of your life?
So many things.
Okay, yeah, you can say a few.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Let me think. Okay, so I think an important thing I've really learned is that failing is okay, one, but also you need to be responsible about what you do, because then you can get into a cycle of like, well, you know, this is happening, I'm working and all this stuff, and, you know, I think I have that mindset a lot because, you know, coming from a lower income community and societal structures, and you know, I have a lot of hardships that a lot of these kids don't have. Yeah, it's cool, but you know, it's also normal to me. Like, I've always been expected to work since I was in high school, even though a lot of these kids don't work until after they're, you know, they get their degree,
or they take a couple years off even after.
Yeah, they go, you know, look at Europe, you know, good for them, but it's just, that's not my normal,
right?
But it's just learning that to fail, yeah, you learn from the lesson, but you also need to take responsibility and change it. No matter how many times it takes, you know, not saying you're going to get it the next time. And I think an example of this is it's really working with Carlos Sepulveda. Like, it really is.
So say more.
Okay, so... So my junior year, I became a resident advisor full-time, and I say that because the year before, I kind of got into the job early, which was really great financially, but they also let me slack a lot because they're like, you didn't go through the 2-week training, we're kind of out, you're doing us a favor by just being another eyes to watch, you know, make sure the kids are okay. And I was like, okay, you know. And so I developed a lot of like slacker tendencies, I'll be real. Like, and I think in some instances, no matter what type of job you have, you can do that. Like, you know, you're like, eh, I can do this. I can slack here and I won't be told anything. And I think that's a little bit true for res life sometimes. Not saying all res life or just to you older res life. It's just sometimes it happens.
That's probably, like you said, in any job, it's you can kind of do it and fly under the radar for a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
And I got used to it. I was just kind of like, well, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and I'm going to kind of like, I guess I'll go to school and then like I'll just go to work, but I won't do what I need to do, right? You know, just kind of hang out. And when I started working with Carlos, that was like, it's in the rule book, so you're going to do it. I was like, oh, dang.
Carlos was your supervisor, basically.
Yes, okay. And he's been my supervisor from the summer, so we worked in CU conferences together. So it was only me. He was watching when we first met, and I was like, oh, God. And I couldn't wait till the other RAs got here, so I was like, so he doesn't look at me anymore. I was honestly intimidated, but I think also because, you know, he has military background and my dad's military background. So I kind of got it. Like, I understood where that was coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just like, so it's just, he kept me accountable. And that just really shook me because I was like, wait, what? Like, but, you know, and I started to feel angry for a bit because I was like, well, you don't get my circumstances. Like, you don't get that I have to work all the time and I'm going to school and I have this and I'm tired and all these kids don't get to do this. But I think that was the most valuable skill he ever taught me. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's your work is what represents you. And now I just take pride in everything I do and I learn how to work that much harder, you know, and because that's my new norm now. So I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess just, can you give a brief overview of what an RA does? So people, because I don't know who's listening to this right now who might not know even what that job entails.
Yeah. Okay, great. So a resident advisor is essentially a person. There's a dorm, right? Or we call them residence halls now. So basically on each floor, there's one or two resident advisors to help with the transition from college to call into like the dorm at least and the university. So you, at least with CU Boulder, you're supposed to, make connections. You know, it's a really lonely process when you first start. And when you first start university or call any school new chapter in life, it's hard. You're going through a huge transition and sometimes you can feel left out. And that was my job to make, you know, just say hi to everyone. And that was really what CU was focusing on. And I loved it. And I have friends that are still that were my residents.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great. And then also there's the other side where you have to enforce the policy. So you have to do building checks, make sure that you and your residents are safe. Make sure that your residents are leaving prop doors open. That, you know, there's no underage drinking or partying to create a kind of like weird environment because, you know, you can't do illegal things. Right. So, or say if there has been a party and your residents come home and they're just, you know, undergoing alcohol poisoning, you have to kind of work, like be a diplomat where you're like, I need to help this person, so you need to trust me with this person. And you need to be able to know your community, your resources, and be able to act in an emergency. So
yeah, I mean, those are valuable skills, especially for what you want to do long term, which I want to go to next.
Yes.
So I appreciate you kind of sharing what that looks like. And and I just think I've heard multiple, I've never was an RA. I actually wish I would have done it. And I wanted to, but I was so scared to try, like, to apply. I was like, oh, it's fine, you know. Anyways,
it's an intimidating process. It really is.
And I know that it's, so you're working or you're going to school full time and then you work, it's about 20 hours a week on paper at least.
Oh, on paper,
Of course, sometimes you're walking home and you see a resident or, you know, you have things happen. So I know that it's super intense. Mm-hmm. So I think you have learned a lot from that process. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you.
So talking about kind of let's actually go to your own transition from high school to college.
Yeah.
So what was that like, even though, because Westminster is about 20 minutes, 30 minutes away, mm-hmm. tops.
Yeah.
So what was that transition like for you?
Oh my goodness. I think it was just like, you know, and okay, so I think a little backstory about myself too is that I have social anxiety disorder. And so and for those who don't know, it's basically a mental illness that has yourself being, essentially your fight or flight is triggered a lot in social situations. And that first started when I was like, I think I've always been an anxious kid, like, but it first like really started impacting my life when I was 16 and I had my first panic attack in the middle of giving a presentation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I felt like I was going to pass out. Like it's really taxing on your body. And when you're also, there's like high paranoia. So it was really intense. But basically when I was 18, I got diagnosed. So I kind of was like, okay, so this is what's happening to me. Because kind of in that area where I'm from, like, what the heck is mental illness? Like, or you see it and you're like, oh, are you going to go hurt someone? And so there's a lot of stigmas with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're getting better as a society, but we still have a lot of ways to go.
I agree. Yeah. 100%. But yeah, so when I was transitioning, I just got diagnosed. I was kind of learning, like, I was really scared to be living with someone else I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because I'm like, oh, yeah, if I have a panic attack, I'm going to go to the bathroom where I don't have a place to go to be by myself. So that was scary, but I think a lot of had to do with my anxiety was being in the environment I was in and having, like, a lot of oppressive cultural, I just think of it, like, as a little box. Like, that's what it felt like. And I think that's what exaggerated it more. And then going to college is such a freeing process. You're away from your parents. You have this newfound freedom, independence. And I think that really helped a lot. Because here's this agency, right? I can finally do things and have it my way. And I think also, like, I paid for my own college, so no one could tell me anything. So,
like, I'm grown.
Yeah, seriously, I came in 18. I'm grown up now. Okay, I got $3. But yeah, so basically, I just was so nervous about making friends. And I'm like, I just, you know, Angie, you've been living by yourself for 2 years. You've been isolating yourself. Like, just try and push myself to do it. So I made friends, and we hung out all the time. There's this kind of thing where you go through when you have your crew your freshman year and you literally do not separate, like, no matter what you do.
You're like, finally.
Yeah, seriously, like, you guys sleep in the same dorm, squished together, you guys party together, you guys go eat together, you guys, honestly, I've seen, like, some of my friends go to the bathroom together. I'm like, what are you doing? It's, like, too much. Or they shower together. And so I had that, and I was like, wow, it feels really great to be a part of something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that helped a lot in my situation, but it did not help my school. It did not, you know.
Yeah.
I had a serious case of fear of missing out, and I think also it's just now the academic side of college, everything was happening so fast that it was just like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I became depressed about it because I was a smart kid, you know. I was an honor since I was, like, in sixth grade. But I realized that my school system did not prepare me for the life of college whatsoever. And I see the kids around me who are from around the country or around the world who are on their Apple computers just typing away and just, like, getting A's like that. Or, like, you know, I felt like they had an advantage.
And, like, a ton of financial resources to where they could go out and do anything whenever they wanted, no matter the cost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially with, like, the books and stuff where, like, I had only sheets of paper I saved up from high school to write down on my notes. And it was, like, kind of embarrassing. And, you know, I didn't have this nice computer and I didn't have, like this preparation. And oh my goodness, my grammar. My grammar, I was in honors, advanced placement, college prep, writing classes, all of high school. And I was never corrected on my grammar. I realized that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got A's in the classes, but I was never corrected. And I was like, well, what the heck? Now, looking back in hindsight, it's probably because, you know, my school doesn't get that lot of funding. Even though it was honors, you know, it was lower income community. And the teachers are just underpaid. Like, you know, they don't have the time to meet the deadlines and then carefully weed out the things you need to do to be better. So that was something I think, that's my hypothesis.
Yeah, and that goes back to systemic issues, right? Mm-hmm. When you're underfunded in education at K through 12, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have access to a lot of things that other communities might have access to. Even going to such something so small as, which I small quote unquote, but mm-hmm. Like the size of the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, alone, the student, or you're not able to get individualized support, or teachers aren't necessarily getting paid as much, right? Mm-hmm. So then it's a cycle, right? Yeah. And then now you're transitioning into this community that is very wealthy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that change would be really, really hard, I could imagine.
Yeah, it was just really frustrating, and I felt dumb. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt dumb from the financial aspect of it. And I was like, you know what, if I had, you know, these kids, I became jealous at one point. I was like, well, these kids have, you know, mom and dad and pay for everything. They probably have tutors. They have support to pay for the tutors here. Or like, they know how to go up and talk and advocate for themselves. Because in my community, you don't go and talk to someone with authority. What the heck? No. Like,
like they talk to you, right? Yeah.
They tell you what to do. And yep. So that was just such a culture shock. Yeah. And it was really frustrating. So my first semester, I didn't do well. And I think a lot of it, I now hold responsibility for it. Like I failed a class, but I think what kind of shook me out of it was like, I can lose everything. If I had a lot of financial aid, which I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
And I could have lost everything. And I think that's what whipped me to shape. I stopped like hanging out with friends as much and just forced myself to do it. And even though I was scared to talk to the professors, I like was like shaking in front of them, just like, I don't know what's going on. And they're like, okay, like what's this. Yeah. And then the next semester was a lot better too, because I think also with my anxiety, it took a lot of me to just go to class and be surrounded by people who were almost touching me. Like, I couldn't breathe. Yeah. I felt so claustrophobic. But I just learned, I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Just sit in the back of the class, raise your hand, and just say something and pay attention. And even if you're anxious, just go. And somehow, I did it. Somehow I did it.
Yeah. So what would you say to a student who is identifying with your story right now? Like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, she's telling my story. Oh, okay. So what would you say as a message of either like a tip or a trick, something that you did that you were like, something that you told yourself mm-hmm. that helped you keep going, pushing forward through mm-hmm. all that?
Yeah.
You had a lot going on.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Now in hindsight, cause I'm like a lot more healed in my processes now. But I just kept saying like, don't ruin this opportunity. Like, even though it hurts, like, cause anxiety physically hurts, even though it hurts and you're scared and all this stuff, it's like, just keep trying. And it little goals too. Like, I had to do, like, if I just brushed my teeth today, I won. Like, there we go. I did today. Yeah. If I am scared and, you know what, I need some chocolate, go get some chocolate. Like, even though I should be using that to pay for something else, like, just start taking care of you. And I think I learned how to care for myself. If you need to watch a movie, watch a movie. And just keep swimming, like Dory. I think that's really what it was, just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Like, And eventually you're going to get used to it and it's going to go away. Especially like a specific situation was like, so there's the Buff Bus, right? So from Willville off campus housing, which where I was, into campus, like you're crowded. You have people like right in your face. And to me, I was like I hated it. I couldn't breathe. And, you know, that I think that was also not making me want to go to class. But during the time, I was just like, even if you breathe weird, even though someone thinks you're weird, it's okay because I'm here. Like, it's okay. And, you know, I think something also resonates with me is that my mom always told me, is like, they're not going to get your grades. You know, they're not going to make your money. And I just kept telling myself, it's like, I'm doing this. It's me. It's okay. And so, yeah, if it resonates with you, just keep swimming. You're okay.
Yeah. Were there any resources that you sought out? And you don't even have to give specific names of people. But but what was there anything, especially with like social anxiety or I don't know, any interactions that you can remember that were really helpful for you?
Okay. And when I first started school, I think it was my friend group that helped me just get back to talking to people. Because naturally I was a social butterfly. And I think that was familiar and trying to like, okay, like I remember how fun this used to be. So that was cool. And I think one of my friends also had anxiety. So she understood. And then I think professionally, when I started reaching out to the professors, they were just really nice about it. And I'm lucky because some professors aren't that nice about it.
But that is just goes to show you how powerful like a human can be in your life, you know? Like we have no idea what each other are going through unless we share our stories and unless we have compassion and empathy, you know? And so that, I think it highlights the importance of faculty, you know, and anybody that you can interact with, your friends, your peers. I mean, just saying, hey, how are you doing? I noticed that you're down, or just being nice when you do reach out, you know, it sounds so like simple, but it's so powerful.
Yeah, it really, that's actually the best way to explain it. It's just all the people that were just nice to me. It helped because then I'm like, oh, I'm worth being nice to. Like
you're worth something.
Yeah. And my resident advisor, Audrey Lynn, I'll shout her out. She was just so chill and cool about everything. And I think she understood that I was like, I needed my space. And then she was just like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, sup. And that meant a lot too.
Yeah.
So I think my first year, that was helpful. Oh, also, I was in the first gen program.
What is a first gen? What does that mean, first gen?
Okay, so first generation means the first person in your family to go into college. So neither my mom or dad did. Dad went to the military, and this is why he tells me like to do school, because he was smart. He just didn't want to. He chose the party life, right? And then mom, you know, and she got pregnant with my brother, and you know, she's a great mom. Love my brother. He's great. But
sometimes it doesn't work out. Like
it all worked out. Yeah. But basically, and I think that's why they really forced it on me too. But yeah, so first gen, first person in my family. My brother, you know, it's all generational too. So like, if my brother had went to college, like I still would be a first gen.
Right.
So the scholarship program was they kind of accepted me through the pre-collegiate program. And so basically, there was this woman you have to do a meeting with them every semester.
Okay.
And my first semester, I remember Justina. I don't remember her last name, but this woman really turned it around for me. She was like, you know, how are you doing? And I'm like, not that great. Like, honestly, I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, and just kind of venting it out. And she's just like, why didn't you come to me earlier? And I was like, well, I didn't know I could. But 5 weeks, it was finals, and then she set up a week-by-week plan with me. She's know what? You may fail one or two classes, but look at this. And she got the numbers out, the points I could have made.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, like, this, 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 and this. And also because she was part of the first gen was also part of my scholarship or grant money. Mm-hmm. She was like, we have a period for you to kind of get it together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like that really helped. I can't believe I forgot about that. That's what really helped.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think sometimes, well, first off, how did you feel? Okay. How did you approach that meeting? And were you just like, I don't even care at this point. I'm at my breaking point. So I'm going to be authentic and be like, yeah, I'm not doing so hot. Mm-hmm. Or were you just kind of, or were you kind of trying to fight it? Like, no, I'm good. So in student affairs, there's so many people on college campuses that want to help, but we either don't know how to reach students, mm-hmm. or when we do connect with students, sometimes students don't really want to share the whole story. Mm-hmm. And that's, there's so many reasons for that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So we have to be aware of that too.
Yeah.
So how do you, or how did you go about that interaction to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me think. I really,
you may not remember. Yeah. And that's okay if you don't, but.
Okay, so basically, also what was part of First Gen is that you had to do outreach too. So you had to do like an event that CU was throwing and then write about the event. Okay. And I think that was really helpful too, because it had like, if I don't do this, I lose my grant money. So that helped. But also like the meeting helped, because if I don't do this, I lose my grant money. So that's an incentive, right?
Yeah, that's, you're right.
But yeah, so like when I first talked to Justina, she was just asking me certain questions. I'm like, yeah, they're okay. But I knew like she was going to see my grades, because she just pulled up my file. Mm. I was like, I can't lie.
So might as well.
I was like, look, I'm probably going to fail. Like, you know, this, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm essentially just told her I'm scared. Like,
yeah.
And I just told her, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I think I was at my breaking point. At first, I was putting up a front, but once I saw she pulled up my file, I was like, okay, well, the jig's up. Like, so, yeah, but I just, the response I got from her, she's like, this is normal. You know, people, they're especially their freshman year, other colleges, jobs will see this, they get it. Like, because if they're your employer, most likely they went to college or had some education, or they failed, you know? So she's like, it happens, you know, and what you can do is learn from it. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was her response that really helped a lot. And, you know, I'm open as it is, but I can see the issue. Like, I can see how it would be really hard for someone just to, who's struggling inside, and be like, yeah, these are my failures. And, but I think that's why it's important just to, like, kind of be truthful and authentic with people. But mostly, you need to kind of realize it in yourself that mm-hmm. it's not going well. Like, so.
Yeah. And sometimes that's hard to just face, because you just don't want to.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
So I think the situation was because I had a huge incentive and I could have lost a lot with of it.
Yeah.
So.
But then it ended up working out for the best.
Oh, yeah. It really did.
So I wanted to talk about your major. So your major, you said, that is psychology and communication.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you want to do mental health.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about how you decided to choose your majors, mm-hmm. and how you see it linking to mental health? Mm-hmm. So a lot of students will come in and they don't really know what they want to do, or they feel like they have to have their degree fit what they want to do, mm-hmm. right? So you didn't get you're not majoring in mental health, or
yeah.
So can you talk about some of that?
Oh wow, like that whole process, even though I've been in college for so long, like it didn't take till my senior year, junior year, to realize that there's different routes to go the same way, right? And I think that's really important. I will say that again. There are different routes to go the same destination. Yeah. And so mental health, I first thought, it's so funny, because I was like, oh, well, I really want to help people with mental health now that I've kind of recovered a little bit and I know what it's like, so I want to help. And then I looked, I'm like, what jobs can I do, right, online, the little Google shorts, right? And then it says you can be an advocate. You don't need a degree to be an advocate. And I'm like, what? Okay. Like, so, well, what am I doing? But I wanted to.
Why am I here?
Exactly. So so this is the story. I originally took, when I got pre-accepted, I had psychology as my major. And oh my gosh, that stressed me out so much. Because I was like, this is determining my future for the rest of my life. And that's what it feels like when you're 18. You're like, okay, you just asked me to raise my hand to go to a restroom like 3 months ago, and now you're telling me what the heck I want to do for the rest of my life? Like, what? But what's great about college is that it's fluid, it changes, and it's okay. But basically, so I did that. I chose psychology to do pre-nursing school. Okay. Because I love psychology, but I wanted a job with stability in it. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, you hear mental health doesn't really pay much and all this stuff. And coming from a lower income, I just wanted some stability, you know, like that's really what I wanted.
But, and you shouldn't feel bad about that either.
Yeah.
Like if that's something you need to do, do it.
Do you, boo-boo. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Ideally, I want you to have passion and that and financial stability, but you know.
Exactly, right? And I think also something my mom said too, if you love it, you find a way to get paid. And that's, I was just like, Mom, where are you coming with these words of wisdom?
That is really good.
Yeah, my mom's like, she's so funny. Like, she doesn't get too deep or sentimental a lot, but like, the simple things she says, I'm like, what?
Like, that is really powerful.
Yeah. So, basically, I did that, and I was like, all right, well, I'll do pre-med stuff. And then I remember right before I went to college, I was like, I hate touching people. Like, I don't want to touch people. I don't want to be standing up doing the graveyard shift and all that stuff. And I knew it wasn't something I liked. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm still a major in psychology. Like, I know I love this stuff. I want to learn more about it. And that's where I started. I just wanted to learn more about it. And then I had to take a class that was like, you know, you have your major classes and then you have like other things you need to do to like kind of expand your horizons with your education.
And those are usually taken your first couple years, right? Liberal mm-hmm. studies, sometimes called liberal arts courses.
Yeah. Your prereqs.
Prerequisites, yep, mm-hmm. yep.
So I had group interaction in the communication field. And I took it and I was like, what the heck? I actually really like this. And it was just really cool because it's psychology, philosophy, anthropology, all mixed in one thing. And at first, you know, being someone with anxiety, I was like, maybe I can learn how to talk to people like this. Hey. But really what it is just learning how to get my message across and what kind of other factors influence how it's given and how it's taken. And it's really cool. Like, I loved it. I enjoyed learning about it. And I think that's so important. Like, even though I didn't know what I was going to do, I loved learning about it. And that's what I really emphasize it. Because if you don't love learning about something you're going to do for the rest of your life, like, it's going to be a little bit harder. Mm. So, but again, if you need that healthcare, do you, boo-boo? Like, you got to do it. It's all about your values and your priorities. So, yeah, so basically those two degrees, as I went into it, I learned, you know, deeper in it, and now I'm here, the senior year. So mental health, eventually I want to be a therapist, I thought you had to be a psychologist and a doctor, and I was like, okay, not only my first gen, but I'm Dr. Alvarez, what's up?
I mean, I still see that in your future, but it's fine.
Yeah, we'll take it step by step. Yes, yes. But yeah, you know, maybe one day, we'll see. This will be cool to look back on. But basically what happened was learning more about mental health, but I didn't realize that CU is such a research-based school. And what's cool is that the professors I've had, like Dr. Pittman Wagers, had a master's in social work. And that's like kind of the route you typically do to start therapy work, or the emphasis on therapy work, and the doctorate is more like research and let's learn things and
policy sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really realize that until I got into my upper level classes. And I was like, wow, master's, like, this is actually pretty cool. Like, a master's in social work. And now I'm here, and it's, like, advocacy. And I was like, oh, I did it. I can do this. I was like, oh, so I can get a degree to be an advocate.
Yeah.
And it's and who knew? And I, like, never in a million years thought I would be aspiring to be a social worker. Like, there's such a stigma behind it. It's like, let's go in and take these children away. But that's not the only part of social work. First off, they don't do that model anymore. You know, they really don't want to turn children into orphans.
Right.
But it's the clinical side, which is like therapy, intervention, what aspects of oppression is influencing mental illness, and how can we communicate to people, one, to stop the stigma of mental illness, two, to communicate resources and to advocate for people who can't advocate for themselves. And I was like, well, here it is. This is what I want to do. And, you know, having the background in psychology, you know, to know what you're dealing with, and then knowing how to communicate, and maybe someone, so say if I like have a client and they are being really aggressive towards me, and, you know, I am like, I could be like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Or I can kind of like think of the other factors that are making them communicate that way. So yeah, that's how they tie in.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see it. And I just think sometimes students don't see the link, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that you're able to bridge that gap. And it just shows your maturity too, of where you're at. So
thanks. Yeah. I try.
Well, we only have the space for another few minutes.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that we kind of are able to wrap up a little bit. But I have so many things that I want to talk about with you because you're amazing.
We can still do it.
So you talked a little bit about kind of like oppressive systems, and that's like a really big part of why you're interested in mental health probably as well, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you see that impacting like current students, I guess, on campuses?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, it's just, I love J. Cole. He is my favorite rapper. And actually, that's also another reason why I wanted to go on communication, because J. Cole has a bachelor's in communication.
That's hilarious.
It's amazing. And who would have known a rapper has a degree, right? But yes, you can. But anyways, so learning, I think CU opened my eyes again to the things that were going around me, things that were happening, and putting an academic turn to it. Mm-hmm. I think they're, from where I came from, that's amazing. You don't talk about that. And J. Cole said this one thing, is that they don't know they're slaves. And I think that's like the biggest part. You don't have oppression. There's no talk. There's no education. There's no putting a word to something you're experiencing. And honestly, there's a lot of gaslighting and just saying, well, that doesn't exist. And I think that's what really prevents a lot of people from going to college. Mm. It's like, well, I don't know because I need to do this and I need to do that. Well, no, you don't. You can just go and figure it out. But with oppressive systems too, like especially with mental health and me, it took me almost a year just to get the help I was begging for. One, I had to learn that I needed help. And I did that by going online and, you know, people telling me I'm crazy because I think I have a mental illness, or not being my friend anymore because I could possibly go, you know, hurt people. Like, not true, by the way. And it's just, there's so many things that are, it's such a great question, sorry.
No, it is, it is. I know, it's fine.
But there's just, I think that's the biggest part. It's like they don't know they're slaves. And then also, like, in the college system, too, finances, like, yeah, that's real life. You know, I almost didn't go to college if my grandpa wasn't, you know, had a good salary and could co-sign for one of my really big loans, right? They're like, yeah, well, if you can't pay for it, you can't be here. And that was the most, like, heartbreaking thing. It's like, well, I took out the max loans I could take out. What more do you want from me? You know, why can't I take out this much? Which is really, you know, that in itself is oppression. Like, here I am, great grades, worked hard all my life.
You have all these dreams, goals. You want to do big things in the world. You want to make a difference and help people. And, yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Actually, you can't get an education to do that. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. And it was just so frustrating. And along with the mental illness, it's just like, well, I'm crazy. I think what it really is just like your oppression is just telling people they aren't valued. And I think that's what it is.
I'm like less than human, as I've heard of it.
They're objects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that contributes because it's such a cycle, you know? Like, and it's sad too because I've seen kids from my high school who are like, well, college is too expensive. And
that's a narrative that society says over and over again, it's so expensive, and that is true. And there are ways around it too.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, that again, that's knowledge, and knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes my whole education like worth it. Because like, even though I did what I could, and I'm fortunate that I could eventually pay for it, like, I am so much more powerful now. And I think that's what oppression is. They don't want these people from, you know, seeing where the problems are, getting the power and knowledge and the power to go fix it. Mm. They want to keep it that way. So,
for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to a student who is like, what the heck is oppression?
Oh, wow.
Right? And in your own words, so not, you don't have to like.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So oppression, it's not reverse racism. Anyways. So basically, oppression is such a huge word. But basically, it's really just the restraints for you getting somewhere that you are entitled to. Human basic rights, like healthcare, education, food. Like, it's just a systematic way of keeping someone on the bottom, or where they are not unable to move forward and up or be successful. And that's what I think it really is. There's a lot of other stuff to it, but
yeah, I feel like maybe we should do a whole podcast on that. So if anybody's interested, reach out, hit us up, let us know. So I guess just in closing, can you talk a little bit, or can you give maybe one or two pieces of advice that you either wish you would have known? Mm-hmm. Well, let's go there. What's like one or two things that you wish you would have known coming into college?
Wow, I think the biggest thing is that it's all going to be okay. It's just, you know, you're going to get, like I said, there's many ways to get where you want to be. And if it changes, like, that's okay. If you fail out a semester, that's okay. If you need to save up a lot of money before you go to college, it's okay. Like, everything's going to be okay. And if you're crying from university stress, that's okay too. Because it's just, you can get so worked up and feel like the world is really ending because it's so important. But also, at the end of the day, you have to kind of take things and relax a little bit. I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then, is there anything that you either wish that you would have done now that you're about to graduate,
mm-hmm.
or that you did that you were like, if you have the opportunity to do it as a student, you need to do it?
Oh, okay. So, do your life, like, have fun, have values, but if you go to college and if you're serious about, you know, especially if you come from a lower income community, and if you want to get out and if you want to do things that require getting up, you need to cut the bullshit. Like, you can't be partying, you know, like all these other kids, because you know what? They got money to party.
And a fallback plan.
And they have a fallback plan, yeah. And they can try again. You have one shot, and that's really what it is financially. Like, you do have one shot. Like, so find your people, and if those people don't want to watch you succeed and understand that you need to work and you need to work hard, and it's okay. Number one, I actually just ended a friendship because we come from different backgrounds. She couldn't understand that I need to work. And she's like, well, we need to see each other face to face. I'm like, no, like, I get it, but if you're my friend, you need to support my hustle, right? Because at the end of the day, you have a plate full, I don't. And you know, if you can't understand that, then I can't waste my time with you. Yeah, and that's my perspective. Like, you gotta do you, and like my mom said, like, you're the only one that's gonna make your money and the only one that's gonna make your grades. So do what you have to do, cut the bullshit as soon as you can, even though it's okay to fail. Just eye on the prize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, and I just want to acknowledge you. You are an incredible human being. I can't wait to see what you end up doing, and hopefully we can get you back on this podcast and get an update.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please
go ahead and subscribe and definitely share this with somebody, especially if you know of any current college students that might benefit from this episode. Please don't hesitate to share it with them. And I hope you have an excellent week.